Hello?
Hi, is this Corporal Kelly?
Yeah, it's me. How's it going?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Well, good. Good. So I'm reading over your personal information form here, and I just want to go over some things on it here. It says Michael Kelly, and you are 28 years old, right?
Yep.
How long have you been in the Marine Corps?
I've been in the Marine Corps just over 2 years.
So you joined late.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Did you go to college first?
Yeah, I have a bachelor's from Nebraska.
So why did you, if you have a college degree, why did you go enlisted instead of into the officers?
I felt like I was getting old, and I had a chance to jump right in as opposed to wait for an extended period of time. And, you know, money is never really a motivation. And just from what I know about the Marine Corps, there's going to be potential for leadership roles regardless of whatever side you pick.
So would you have had to wait for an opening in the officer candidate school then, or?
There was a long line to get in, and
oh.
I had a chance to jump right into the boot camp like a month after, you know, I signed the enlistment paper. So it was the fastest way, and, you know, I was 26 years old, and I wanted to get going as soon as I could.
So how do you like the Marine Corps so far?
The Marine Corps is definitely a unique experience, and it's something that I do not regret doing.
What do you mean by a unique experience?
Well, in the fact that it's quite different from everyday life. For regular humans, probably elsewhere.
I like that, regular humans, huh? Okay. I'm trying to figure out exactly what your job is, because you say you're a fire support man, which, when I read that, I think firefighter, but I guess that's not what you are. So what is a fire support man?
What the actual job is, my military occupational specialty is an artillery scout observer.
Uh-huh.
But that's not necessarily what I do over here in Afghanistan.
Oh. So what do you do then?
I work in a fire support coordination center and help coordinate fires with ground units to our fire support assets so that they can get necessary fire support in kind of a timely and an efficient manner.
Okay, now that's the military version. What's the regular civilian version? You call in bombs to blow things up or what?
No, I would definitely not put it like that. I just make sure that if it had to come down to that, that it was done correctly and done quickly, and I facilitate a lot of communication.
That what's done correctly and quickly?
Just surface-to-surface fire support. Like if we needed to use rocket artillery or cannon artillery, I'm the higher headquarters for the fire support coordination centers, so if units need to, you know, if units need fire support, pretty much what I'm there so that they can get it as quickly as possible. And I'm also part of a little bit of the planning process, which, you know, also leads to them getting fire support as quickly as possible and making sure that we all abide by the rules of the law of armed conflict as well.
Okay, so that means, like, my husband was a Marine. He was an air support control officer. So he told me that his job was he would fly around in the airplanes up above, and he would get the phone calls from the grunts on the ground saying, we need this, that, or the other thing. And then he would call the planes and say, you need to go here and do this. So you're kind of the same thing, only on the ground. You know, we need this position to get artillery, or we need something like that. So is that what you're doing then?
Yeah, I'd say that's a fairly reasonable understanding of it, okay, without going into too much technicalness.
And then by abiding by the rules, that would be like you can't shoot at a building that might be a mosque or a hospital or something like that. Is that, or what kind of
or rules? or pretty much any building unless a particular scenario allows for it.
So, like, you have reason to believe that insurgents are hiding out in a house or a building or a barn or something, then you could send the artillery at that place?
Not even really necessarily anymore.
Really?
It's, we're really, really trying hard to protect the civilians as much as possible. So, like, a scenario like that, like, more than likely that wouldn't be the best course of action.
Oh. So what do you do then?
Well, there's times where you do need artillery.
Mm-hmm.
And in those scenarios, you know, then I make sure that the guys get what they need.
Okay. So how is this job in Afghanistan different than what you do in 29 Palms then?
In 29 Palms, I just sit on the side of a hill and call in fire missions back to an artillery cannon battery. And I spot, adjust, and control those fires from an observation standpoint.
And Afghanistan, you are not sitting on the sideline, you're what? What are you doing there?
I work in the Fire Support Coordination Center, so I'm more like the guy that the people on the ground would call to get that sort of thing, to get artillery support and rocket artillery support. And I make sure that they're getting, you know, what they need while abiding by the rules that we have out here to protect civilians.
Okay, so what's your biggest challenge then in Afghanistan?
Really, it comes down to having to show up to work for 12 hours a day without having a rest or a break for, it's been about 5 months straight now.
Working every day.
Yeah, that's probably the toughest part.
I can imagine. I just took 4 days off last week, and that was heaven to have 4 days off. And I don't even work 12-hour days, 7 days a week. So
yeah.
It would be hard to go into work every day for 2 hours.
Yeah, that's definitely probably the toughest part.
So what do you like about your job?
Pretty much talking to people. That's really, yeah, probably that. Probably talking to people.
So you said you got a degree from the University of Nebraska.
That's correct.
A Cornhusker.
Yep.
When did you get it?
I think I graduated in January of 09.
And then you went into the Marine Corps, what, like a month or so later, you said?
No, probably about 8 months later, I joined up.
What did you think you were going to do with a degree in history?
Teach Roman history.
Oh, really? Yes, I saw that you wrote a nice little essay about that. So tell me about
that. That was just the start. That was just the intro.
So tell me about the Marines and the warrior culture.
It's kind of hard to explain if. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, it's really hard to explain if you're not really been a part of it. Like, I don't know how to put it into words.
Well, you did a start in your bio here.
Yeah, I guess I did. But I also had plenty of time to come up with that as well.
So if you were going to be a Civil War reenactor, which side would you be on?
I don't know, but I'd make sure that my side would win.
Well, then I guess you'd have to be on the north then.
Well, you don't have to play the battle out the way it's supposed to. Like, if I was a Civil War reenactor and they said this was supposed to happen, I would, I guess you could say I would do my best to change history to make sure that my side won regardless.
Do you think they would get angry with you for changing history?
Not the guys on the winning team wouldn't. And if the other people were upset about it, they shouldn't have lost.
Okay, and so you also say you're the epitome of a great American.
Oh, yeah, I think I epitomized the American culture, yes.
And what is the American culture, in your opinion?
NASCAR watching, wrestling watching, bass fishing, loudmouth men.
So you're a loudmouth?
Well, yeah, you have to be.
Why do you have to be?
Well, it's the American way.
The American way to be a loud man or a loudmouth?
Well, just a loud man in general.
So, were you able to watch Danica in her first NASCAR race then?
Yes, she finished eighth in the Daytona 500.
And were you rooting for her, or who were you rooting for?
I was rooting for Jeff Gordon in the Daytona 500, and he was cheated out of victory.
And why was that?
Well, what he did was he sacrificed his position so that his teammate could win the race.
And who is his teammate?
Jimmy.
But isn't that something that you as a Marine could understand, that you would sacrifice yourself so that your teammate or your unit or your whatever could fight the battle and win?
Exactly. That's why I'm such a huge Jeff Gordon fan.
So has he done that before then?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
I said, has he done that before then?
Oh yeah, he's a hero to the NASCAR world.
So bass fishing seems a long ways away from NASCAR.
I'd say that they're quite interlinked.
How is that?
Most bass fishermen watch NASCAR.
Where do you go fishing?
When I'm back home, I go fishing on usually Lake Ponderosa, which is in right about the middle of Iowa, and that's probably my favorite bass fishing lake.
Is that by Des Moines then?
Yeah, it's about an hour east of Des Moines.
I went to a school at Iowa State, but that was a long time ago, so I don't remember a lake there.
Yeah, it's south of the interstate, probably by about 15 miles or so.
So you catch a lot of bass?
Yep, I'm one of the best.
What's the biggest one you caught?
I've caught my share of 6 and 7 pounders, which isn't necessarily a big bass in Mexico, Texas, or Florida, but in the Midwest, you know, you're pushing some big numbers right there. It's hard to get double digit bass in the Midwest, but you know, I'll probably do it at some point in time.
Okay. So what's been your most memorable moment so far of this deployment?
Oh, I don't know. It's every day is the same, so nothing particularly sticks out.
Were you there for the birthday ball?
Oh, yes, we feasted on that day.
What about Christmas? Was that probably a different Christmas than what you're used to?
Yeah, it was. Christmas was probably just another day.
So, do you have a girlfriend?
Oh no.
No girlfriend, huh? So when you're not working, the few hours that you're there and not sleeping, what do you do in your free time?
I usually go to the local gym or, you know, read some books about, like, the, you know, the old ways, and then there's a lot of sleeping as well.
So when you found out you were deploying, what was your reaction?
Oh, I knew well ahead of time. So I was excited. I was happy to get out of 29 Palms for a little bit.
Why is it that Marines like to deploy?
That's really the reason why they... Why they joined up is because they want to be war fighters and they want to go overseas and defend their country.
Okay, so anything that I asked you that you want to expand on or that I didn't ask you that you want to bring up?
No, I think we pretty much covered all the important things.
Anything unimportant?
No, I think everything from NASCAR to Roman history is important. So
So how much longer do you have in the Marine Corps?
Just about 2 more years on my first contract, and then I don't know if I'm willing to sign back up for another one yet or not.
Okay. Well, great. Well, I sure had fun talking with you today.
Yeah, likewise.
All right, thanks. Have a good night.
All right, you too, Tammy.
All right, bye-bye.